Are you ready to take control of your physical, emotional, spiritual, professional, and financial health? Are you ready to experience great success in your life? Each week, join Dr. Diane A. Thompson and her guests for tools and strategies to help you take control of your health and inspire you to live your best life. Now here's your host, Dr. Diane, M.D.
Welcome to Health Talk with Dr. Diane, M.D. This is a show that is designed with you in mind. And I am your host, Dr. Diane A. Thompson, M.D. And of course, the goal here is to share accurate health information and provide inspiration that may help you to improve your health as well as your life. I do appreciate you joining me each week as we continue to bring you the best and inspirational health information. I do want to let you know that the show is aired each week on 1570 AM WIGO in Atlanta, 95.1 FM KSBT Radio in Houston. All shows are aired and archived online on FMG Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Radio Invasion, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, as well as YouTube. For details and show times, please go to my website at drdianethompson.com, and while you're there, please sign up for updates. We also have a very active Facebook community over there at facebook.com/Dr. Diane A. Thompson. When you get there, please like that page, leave a comment, and ask a question. I'd really love to see you there. And I'm also on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is at Dr. Diane MD. The information provided on this broadcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended for diagnosis or treatment. Please seek the advice of your healthcare provider before making any changes to your health. You know, many of us, as we go on with our lives, will experience some kind of trauma and tragedy. And aside from the medical care that we receive, we may actually see some benefit in our attitude as well as the support, the people around us. And the combination of these things may play a tremendous role in our recovery and healing. Today, my guest will share his experience of having such support during the battle of his life. My guest today is Dr. Stephen Lewis. Now, Dr. Lewis received a PhD in exercise physiology from Stanford University and is an internationally known researcher and teacher. Stephen Lewis is also a two-time survivor of pancreatic cancer, and he is the author of the book, The Ripple Effect, How a Positive Attitude and a Caring Community Helped Save My Life. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thank you so much, Dr. Diane.
Now, you know, this is such an awesome story, and we're going to get to it because I know there's so many people out there who will definitely benefit from this information. They're going through, whether it's pancreatic cancer or some other thing they're dealing with, and I think that your story will inspire them. But let's just talk about you a little bit. Share your background with us. Who is Dr. Stephen Lewis?
Well, Diane, I was born in Brooklyn, New York. I grew up there, attended Samuel J. Tilden High School, Brooklyn College, spent a year at Columbia University where I got a master's degree, and then moved to California and went to Stanford University where I studied exercise physiology, cardiovascular physiology. I've stayed in academics nearly my entire life from Stanford. We took a varying course, spent a year in Europe in both Denmark and Sweden doing research, then moved to Dallas, Texas for a dozen years and worked at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical School as a researcher. From there, moved to Boston University where I was a department chair for a while and a researcher in human physiology and worked a lot with the U.S. Army Labs in Natick, Massachusetts for several years. And then I got sick with pancreatic cancer and went through a lot of the experiences we'll be discussing today. And during the time of my recovery in the past 7 or so years, I've spent time teaching at the medical schools of on St. Martin and St. Kitts, islands in the Caribbean. Currently, I'm a professor at the Charles Schmidt College of Medicine at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, Florida.
Oh, and so, of course, the thing we'll be discussing today is your experience with pancreatic cancer. So when was this, and what did you start experiencing? So talk us through this diagnosis. What happened when you knew something was wrong?
Well, my wife, my son, and I were driving out of Boston, out of town for the weekend. We stopped for lunch on the Massachusetts Turnpike. And as we were eating lunch outside on a beautiful late summer day in New England, my wife and my son looked at me and said, "Gosh, you're turning yellow. Your face, your neck, the whites of your eyes are all yellow." And immediately I had a sense of alarm, but I didn't want to alarm them too much. I knew that from my experience in physiology that yellow color was jaundice. So I called my personal physician. It was a late Friday afternoon in Boston. Boston hospitals were emptying out. He said, "Go and have a CAT scan in where you're going to be visiting in Western Massachusetts, and let's go from there."
Now, you said you knew that yellow color was jaundice, but were you even thinking pancreatic cancer?
Well, in the back of my mind, I knew that my mother had passed away from pancreatic cancer about 30 years previously. So there was some concern, but my feeling was, you know, I've always taken very good care of myself physically, never smoked, never did drugs, ate a healthy diet, always exercised, and I assumed that this might be something else, and my doctor didn't want to alarm me, so he suggested possibly hepatitis or a gallstone.
So now you call the doctor, you're going in. So talk us through a little bit of the whole process of you getting that diagnosis, because my family also, we had a close family friend who had this diagnosis. Initially for him, just like you mentioned, relatively healthy guy, really no one thought of that, to be honest. And so it took a moment for him to actually get the diagnosis. And when he did, there was some confusion about the approach for treatment. So talk us through now what happened with your diagnosis.
So what happened was that I proceeded to get the CAT scan that evening in the small hospital in Western Massachusetts. The scan was clear. There were no obvious masses, but the doctor said, you know, this is a low-resolution scan. Go back to Boston the next morning. Have it done in your hospital in Boston with the high-resolution scanner. And when I went back the next day and had the high-resolution scan, there appeared to be a small mess on my pancreas, and they, of course, needed to follow that up with an endoscopic biopsy to take a tissue sample to actually confirm a diagnosis. So that Monday, it's a couple of days after the CAT scan, I had the endoscopic biopsy of my pancreas, and a doctor walked into my room, looked me straight in the eye, and said, "You have pancreatic cancer."
That's a tough thing. And I want to know from the patient's perspective, because some patients, they don't want any beating around the bush, you know, and then there are others who kind of want it given to them in a gentler way. So the doctor looked straight in your eyes and told you had pancreatic cancer. How did that make you feel? And would you have wanted it delivered in a different way?
I'm a pretty straightforward person. So it was a good thing that in retrospect, I think it was a good thing that the doctor told me in that way. Otherwise, I would have been so sort of inquisitive about it, I would have thought he was hiding something, and it wouldn't have been the right approach for me personally. So obviously, it was a devastation, and my wife was in the room. She couldn't speak. She immediately went into like an out-of-body state where she was an outside observer psychologically and trying to stay as calm as she could. Obviously, this was a terrible blow, and with the whole sort of vision in front of us of all this, it was actually the couple of nights before when I had the CAT scan that there was a tremendous turning point in the situation for both my wife and myself, because prior to the CAT scan, I became very fearful that it was cancer. And as I was waiting to go in to have the scan, and mind you, this is on a very quiet Saturday night, nobody's around, dark basement room, waiting for the CAT scan with a single light bulb, and it's a very eerie situation, and I was about to lose it. And my wife took me by the shoulders and said, look, you know, we've been through so much before. You know, we've been married for 30-something years at that point. We've been through so much together. This is one more thing, and whatever, you know, we have to go through, we need to go through with grace. Okay, and that really had a major impact on me because, you know, from that Saturday night until the Monday when the doctor came in to give me the diagnosis, I had a lot of time to think about what might be happening to me and how I was going to approach it. So there was, you know, a process that was started here.
And I'm sure having the experience of your mother having had pancreatic cancer, and I'm going to assume that that was the cause of her death. Am I correct?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm sure that may have weighed heavily, or did it? Did you immediately think about the possibility of death, given that you've had that experience before with your mother?
Yes, of course I did, and that was part of the terror of the moment. I mean, you know, knowing in general that pancreatic cancer is typically fatal. I mean, more than 95 or about 95% of patients with this diagnosis die within a year. This was a terribly frightening experience to me, and I, as I said, I was about to panic, and you know, my wife basically got me, you know, got me thinking about, you know, the process of what I would have to go through. I mean, we didn't talk about it explicitly, but just her taking me by the shoulders and her looking me in the eye and saying, you know, we need to go through this with grace, basically made me, in the time that I had to think while I was in the hospital waiting for the biopsy, that I need to be positive, because if I wasn't positive going forward, I need to pull myself together, not go into panic, not be negative, because she wouldn't be able to handle it. And then this negativity and fear would spread to our children, to my in-laws who are elderly, and to all those around us. And it would become a situation where everybody was uncomfortable, which is a typical story with many, you know, serious cancers, that the patients don't want to talk about it. When they talk about it, they're negative. People around them become uncomfortable. They don't know what to say. And the whole experience, in addition to the illness, becomes one of emotional despair, confusion, and so on. And I wanted to try to avoid the emotional part, the emotional negativity, because I could see what was potentially coming down the pike, so to speak, at me.
Well, kudos to you for thinking about others while you're going through that and thinking about how your reaction may impact them. And also kudos to your wife, because sometimes we underestimate how important support from others can be when we're going through things. So I think it's great that she was able to get you in that place where you weren't negative about everything that's going on. But what about the rest of the family or even your friends? Like, how did you guys break this news to them? Because we sometimes forget that when we go through really devastating diagnoses or situations, that it's not just us, but we have to, you know, there are other people involved. So how did you have that conversation with friends and the rest of the family?
Well, basically what we did, Diane, is that after I got the diagnosis, I then the next day met with the surgeon who was going to be doing my Whipple procedure. As you may know, the Whipple procedure is probably the best way to treatable, that is, pancreatic cancer. It's a major surgery. It involves a large abdominal rearrangement of the organs and so on. It's actually a much more involved surgery than a heart transplant, but it doesn't have the same sort of cachet in the general public as a heart transplant. But it is a huge surgery. There are many people that have undergone this for pancreatic cancer treatment when the cancer is operable. The plan was that a week later I would have this major surgery, and so my wife and I turned around again, went back in the car, drove out to Weston, Massachusetts, where we had a second home. And at that point, we plotted and planned how we were going to deal with each one of our close-in relatives, and also how we were going to be dealing with friends. And you know, the way we planned this is that we were only going to discuss the positive aspects of them, to try to keep everybody calm. We weren't going to lie to anyone, but we were going to phrase all our comments in the most positive way, that this surgery was a way of treating us. There was a potential cure out there, although not a huge chance, but still a chance for a cure, and we were going to be positive, and that's what we did. We told my son about this. My son had just returned from two tours in the U.S. Army, one in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. He was now home again. He brought his Army can-do attitude along with him, so we discussed this with him. Our daughter was living in Manhattan at the time. We told her boyfriend and had her boyfriend tell her personally. So that was the best way we handled it from that standpoint. And then, of course, my in-laws, who were elderly in their late 80s and 90s, you know, to whom any kind of cancer was a death sentence. We had to be very careful about what we told them, and we were able to do it in a positive way. So it took root from there. And then from there, I'll tell you how it spread out to friends and other relatives.
Okay. We are talking with Stephen Lewis, and he is a two-time survivor of pancreatic cancer and the author of the book, The Ripple Effect, How a Positive Attitude and a Caring Community Helped Save My Life. And what we're actually going to do is to end part one of our interview. We'll come back for part two, and during that time, we'll talk a little bit about his surgery experience while recovering from the Whipple procedure, as he just shared. And we're also going to delve a little deeper into how might a caring community and a positive attitude help you. We'll see how it helped him, and we'll see how we can apply that to you, the listener. So we're going to end here for part one. We'll come back for part two of our interview. Please make sure to join us. And Stephen, you will be here for part two to share this information.
You've been listening to Health Talk with Dr. Diane, MD. For show replays and full guest bios, please be sure to visit fmgradio.com/Dr. Diane MD. That's DrDianeMD.